Super Mario RPG, Sonic the Hedgehog, Donkey Kong 3, Adventures of Lolo 1 and 2, King's Knight, Dig Dug, Juman Foo, Harvest Moon.
Did you write this song?
League Puzzle, Pokemon, Toe Jam and Earl in Panic on Funkotron.
And welcome back to the Movie Maidens. As always, you are joined by me, Dorsa.
Morgan.
Margo.
And freaking today, we're going to be talking about loser duos in comedy. And our main example we'll be pulling from is Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, with Matt Johnson and Jay McCarroll.
Yeah. Canadian. Canadian.
Mm-hmm. So we went and we saw this movie in theaters, and we had a freaking amazing time. If you haven't seen it, you should go see it.
See it before it leaves.
Highly recommend.
There's going to be spoilers for it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say
careful.
In this.
But I don't think that it'll take away from your enjoyment of the film.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We all have seen small parts of Nirvana, the band, the show.
Yeah.
I've seen the first two episodes.
I've seen one.
I've seen the first two or three, maybe, episodes.
Sorry, Nirvana, the band, the show.
So originally they had it as a... Just some freaking background information. Originally they had it as a web series in the early 2000s. And then it was... I think it was, I want to say 2017 when they had... Yeah, Nirvana, the band, the show. 2007 to 2009 was their web series. And then last year, they came out with Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. So it follows Matt and Jay as they try to, you know, their ultimate goal is to book a gig at the Rivoli for their band, Nirvana, with two N's, the band.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking awesome. So I thought maybe we could just go around and talk about our experience watching the movie, because I also think it was a really fun crowd that we were with as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a pretty full theater at the Princess.
Yep. Pretty full. Lots of people were laughing out loud.
Yeah.
There was like a mix of ages. I don't know if you guys noticed. There were like some older people. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people our age, but like there were some that were like teenagers, like some were like in their 20s, like some, but like I saw people who were like they looked like they could be anywhere from like 40 years old to 60 years old. I don't know how good or bad their skincare is, you know.
Mhm.
I said it was from last year. It came out February of this year. February 13th, 2026. Yeah, when we saw it on, second week of March.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly when it was.
We were a little late, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That
is okay. It worked out.
Yeah. I think that does add to, like, the mixed crowd.
Yeah.
And it's been getting a lot of social media hype, too, lately, because it's been rated so highly by everyone. Pretty much.
Yeah, it's on, I think, 76 on Letterboxd Top 100?
Top 500. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's number 76. But it would be in the top 100 as well.
That is true. I'll just check.
While Morgan checks that, a little more background about the film and why it's so important. It should be important to us Canadians.
Number 73.
73, there we go. That's awesome. It was funded by a telefilm.
Let's go.
So let's freaking go.
It is like a, I believe, a completely Canadian production in terms of like funding and stuff for it.
It's a very Canadian film.
Yes. Yeah. Because the whole thing of their show is they're trying to get a gig at the Rivoli in Toronto.
Yeah.
And like Queen Street is like instantly recognizable when you watch any of their stuff, whether
and they go to like Young and Dundas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Queen Street McDonald's, bro. Iconic.
But even if you're not Canadian, you can still love it because our friend Dustin loves it, and he's American.
Yeah,
true.
And they also, I think, they kind of tap into. It is kind of regional in a sense, but I think it spreads to. Like the U.S., you know what I mean? It's very much, I think, like, kind of like East Coast, like, in that sense of, like, I just think because of the way they dress mostly, like, indicating the weather to me, it seems like, I don't know, it's like a specific type. And, like, the way that the like, Toronto just is, like, as like a city, I think it speaks to any two losers trying to make it in the big city.
True. I felt that it was funny on first watch, which,
yeah,
to be honest, I was not expecting.
Because of me and Morgan, so our broader outside of the Maidens, the Maidens Court.
Yes.
We're a big fan. We're all big fans of a like new experimental comedy. I don't know if there's
I'd say like Conor O'Malley, like Tim Robinson, like that's a kind of I'd maybe say absurdist
humor.
Absurdist comedy.
But sometimes it takes you a couple watches though to really like it.
Yeah.
Very, in the case of me and Morgan. I'd say postmodern.
Postmodern to a degree. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I was expecting, because it's the same kind of vein of comedy in a way, I was kind of expecting that I would have to watch it a few times to kind of find it funny. As I do, no tea, no shade to Conor O'Malley.
Sorry, specifically, mainly Conor O'Malley.
This specifically him.
It being Canadian, I think, is the reason maybe why it translates so well to us, partly, on like a first watch.
Like, maybe, but I just think it was really funny.
No, of course,
I just really thought it was funny. It just, I think, like, yes, there's the locality of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, that's of it just being so close to us, and the fact that we know all those locations and everything. It's a CN Tower and whatever, and like we've been there. But I just think that they're funny.
They are funny.
Because like, for example, like Dustin, he's from Seattle, so it's like he's not from the East Coast. He's not Canadian at all, and he still thinks it's like hilarious. So clearly it has that broader appeal.
Oh, of course.
And so I'm just kind of, I just think it's awesome. Like, I told my parents to watch it. I've been telling everyone to watch it, regardless of what I think their sense of humor is, just because I think they'll like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of just, I don't know, I found it kind of just like objectively funny.
Yeah, literally.
It's just so ridiculous too. Like, it's not ridiculous for ridiculous sake. Like, I mean, all three of us, I think, I'm going to speak for all of us, take comedy very seriously. You know,
we are
the freaking funny professors. I know it's so like backwards, but it's true, where we're like, no, this is the reason I find this funny. And the reason why this humor is like this and this, like we like, and I think it's, you know, partially because, I mean, we're all big fans just in general, like of things, like we are.
We're fans of things.
We're tapped into being film fans, being media fans.
For sure.
A lot of it to do with our degree, and also because we're all like storytellers, we're all like, you know, filmmakers, like we all are involved in that aspect of it. Like, it, you want to know why you love the things you love, like why something makes you laugh over another thing, because it's like anything, you get into it enough and you start looking at the technical parts of it. You know, I'm sure if someone like gets into the cars, at first they're like, that one's freaking awesome, it's freaking pretty, it goes fast, and then eventually they're like, oh well, this is a freaking Skittle Lap off floor, and then this one's a freaking blah blah blah, whatever. I don't know stuff about cars, but you get what I mean.
It's
you
like car something enough, the type of engine's cool.
You like something enough and you want to break it down into little pieces and understand it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's real.
And so I think like all of us being like, when we say something is really funny, like it is like a high compliment from us.
Yes.
And especially you, Morgan, saying something is like funny on first watch too.
Wow, that makes it sound like I'm no fun.
No. As in, but I understand what you mean. Like, to me, like I'm gonna find this movie funnier when I watch it again. Like,
no,
I just
it
everything
is.
Just is funnier on a rewatch, especially comedy stuff. Especially again, because we all love reference humor as well. Mm-hmm. And like when we reference the movie now, it's also, not to get sentimental, like we're also referencing like that specific night, like our experience,
watching
it together.
In a group,
I think too, this is absolutely no tea, no shade, no pink lemonade to the Maiden's Court. The thing is, I think my worry going into Nirvana the Band, the show, the movie, was our friends were doing the thing that they like to do where they go and they quote movies that we haven't yet seen. And all three of us were like, hey, we haven't had the opportunity to see this before. Could you guys please not do that? And all of them just kept doing it. And they kept going, well, you'll see. And
you'll get that soon. You'll get that soon.
Yeah, you'll get that soon. And sometimes when they do that, like, I'm sorry, Conor O'Malley, I'm taking out my gun and I'm pointing it at your head. And I'm
Hey, he actually had a whole bit in his stand-up special about why you shouldn't do that. He says, let me, he always says to let him finish the show and then you can proceed.
Okay, but he's finished the show. But I'm lining him up for my shot because that was very much what happened with like Rap World. And I do think Rap World is funny, but it took me, I think, this is going to sound terrible, but I think it took me about five times watching it, maybe.
You've seen Rap World five times.
I've seen it in at least bits and pieces five times. Like, the first time I watched it, like, I was stoned, but, like I was like, okay. Like, some parts I find very funny, but it wasn't laughing all the way through until it kind of became that postmodern thing. But, like, before I'd even seen it, like, people were like, you'll find that funny soon. You'll find that funny soon. And I was like, I didn't find it funny, though.
Guys, stop telling me parts about it. I'm like, no spoilers. Like, no, it's not a spoiler. I'm like, imagine I'm like, I'm going to take you to this awesome, I saw this awesome stand-up routine. I'm going to take you, he's playing again tomorrow. I'm going to tell you all the punchlines. I'm taking you again tomorrow. And then before I take you, I'm like, I just make jokes to you all day. And you're like, wow, you're being really funny today. And then you sit down and you watch it and you're like, oh.
Bro, I shit you not, my ex-boyfriend used to do that with, like, Oni Plays.
That's
like,
ridiculous.
He'd be doing a bit for, like, weeks and weeks, and he'd be, like, rewatching something. I'd be like, oh, what are you watching? He'd be like, Oni Plays, oh, you want to watch? And it'd be the exact same bit he'd been doing to me for weeks. And I was like, I thought that was your bit. And he'd be like, no, it's from this.
I always, sometimes, what do you mean? Sometimes I ask people, I'm like, where's that from?
Stealing funny valor.
And whenever I ask someone that, it usually always is from something.
Yeah, or it's like, oh, is that from something? Like, are you quoting something?
But it's really funny when you're like, wait, what's that from? Because like someone will say something with like such conviction and they're like, oh no, I don't know. I was just saying something.
Yeah, I did that once. I forget what I was saying, but I think I was at work and I was just saying something and I was just like, I was like doing a bit, but like for myself, like not referencing anything. And I think my manager is like, oh, is that from something? And I was like, no, I'm going to go to the bathroom now.
That's when you have to go, it's from my mind. I always say stuff like that to people and they're like, oh.
Oh, it's of my own creation. I conceived of it myself, individually.
I like to say top of the dome.
Off the dome.
That shit off the dome.
Yeah.
That shit off the dome. But to bring it back to Nirvana, the band, the show, one thing that's very cool about, so again, since their original series was from 2007 to 2009 and this movie is 2026, it takes place in 2025. I think that's why.
With a little bit of it in 2008.
That's the part I was getting at. They go back to 2008 in the film. Not really a spoiler. I mean, again, this is like in the trailer. But it's so cool because like I think it's a really cool and fun way to be self-referential. Because they integrated clips from the web series and the show. I think at least one of them was from the web series. If I'm wrong, I
think
apologize.
Most of it was from the web series, to be honest.
Some of it was from the first episode of the show.
Yeah, some you of it was from the first it? Episode of the show, yeah.
You recognized it.
I did not.
it was really cool. I looked into some of the like behind the scenes stuff that they did, and like it's really I just think it's really awesome. And like again, I really want to watch like the whole show and all the web series and rewatch the movie because the stuff that I did recognize, like it felt so rewarding.
I was like,
that's such a smart way to like integrate that. Oh wait, he said I didn't even think that could be applied that way. Like it's like maybe it's basic, but it's fun, guys. Never stop yourself from having fun. But there's a lot of references to Back to the Future if you're a fan of Back to the Future.
Yep. I think that they low-key do it in a more fun way, though.
I agree.
Yeah. Actually, yes. But them going back to 2008, though, is so good. It's so, so good. One of my favorite parts. It's in the trailer.
Yeah, because oh my god, so they go in to, they watch The Hangover.
Yes.
And it's everyone laughing at the F-slur just being said.
Yeah, it's paging Dr. F-slur.
And it's like that, and then that's how he knew that they weren't in today because like everyone was laughing super hard.
At first he was like, oh, okay. So and then funny. He looked around and he's like, this literally cannot be the year that we are in because what is going on?
No, because the entire like theater was like erupting in laughter and I was like, that's so funny. Like that's such so a funny smart. Way to also like realize like that literally. You're not in today's literally. Day because of the outdated like jokes and whatever.
Yes. And then them seeing the Dark Knight poster. I wore the Dark Knight t-shirt of the exact same poster that they see when I went and saw the movie because I knew that about the movie.
You saw it in the trailer.
Yeah, I saw it in the freaking trailer and I was like, okay. And because I was like, what am I going to wear to the movie? 2008. And then I was like, wait, I actually have the perfect thing to wear.
Wait a freaking second.
But it's really cool in the way that they like skirt around like interacting with their younger selves because they're like, we can't change anything. And that's a big, big a part of the mm-hmm. plot is not changing anything. Mm-hmm. But
then they do. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Yeah, could have seen that one coming.
All full of spoilers after this point. We already said that. Yeah. But because yeah. I want to speak openly.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about Jay shooting a guy in the head.
I want to talk about.
Let's play Bird's favorite game.
Bird's favorite game. Bird's that
favorite
was
game.
That was so funny. That and like
I screamed.
That killed me.
I screamed.
I made an audible noise as well. Literally. I was like ah.
Literally.
I like scream laughed. I was like. Like, I'm not going to recreate it because it's going to peak so badly.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so funny. And again, what makes them so funny, which I think that we should talk about since we kind of are broadly talking about like loser duos, comedy duos, is like their dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their friendship is what makes
how,
them funny.
I mean, it's so funny. They're just so funny. The way they interact with each other. Matt Johnson's face.
Yeah, I was about to say his facial expressions.
Did I?
His dumb hat he wears.
Yeah. I showed you. Okay, good.
Margot made a Matt Johnson face.
And it was really good. Yeah,
it was really good. It was really good. And the way I love when they I love when Sorry guys, I got freaking distracted. I love when like Jay is just like playing the piano.
Same.
And Matt is just like doing this and like they work like so like seamlessly together and you just get such a sense that like even when they argue, you're like, okay, it's like a married couple bickering. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You're like, you guys are literally like freaking the besties, best besties in the freaking world.
Yeah.
Like, I got a plan, Bird. Time travel plan. One last plan. That's the movie's tagline.
One last plan to play the Rivoli. So, guys, what were your favorite bits in this?
Oh, I loved it when they played the Rivoli. Sorry. It's a joke for all you guys who have seen the movie.
I think my favorite feature of the movie is the way that they did their black and white flashbacks, which they do in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was smart the way that they use it at the end to kind of tie all the loose ends.
You know what I really like about their black and white flashbacks is that they flash back to things that we have not seen before.
Yes. Yeah.
I like really, really enjoy that because like
or it's like an extended version.
It's an extended version mm-hmm. where we get more information mm-hmm. because like a lot of the time in film you'll get a flashback and it'll be something you've seen earlier in the movie to remind you of it. And it's like, bro, I fucking know. I just saw that
20 minutes ago.
This movie is not that long.
Literally, this movie's an hour and a half. I just saw that. And it's like, and just like expanding on the flashback, I'm like, oh, so that's what happened. I'm mm-hmm. like, thank you. Thank you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I loved it so much. And like, they utilized it more towards the end of the film. Yeah. But like, it was in a way that like, they kind of were able to do the narrative in the way that they wanted to and keep it compelling and not have to, like, mm-hmm. do things in the order that
literally.
You think it has to be done.
Literally.
Like, they kept us, like, waiting, and then they revealed, and then they showed something. Like, it was really, like, it was a really, really good ending to a film, mm-hmm. which I think for comedy films sometimes, like,
it's
you're just like,
do.
Okay, I'm tired of laughing. Like, when is this shit gonna be done? Mm-hmm.
But they had the compelling arc of their friendship getting
exactly
fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What exactly. I really like too about the flashbacks is they seem to be like at least partially like perspective based.
Yeah.
Like yes.
With the whole plot line where like at first you only see Matt's perspective mm-hmm. when they're back to the future. and you only see his perspective and you're like, oh my gosh, maybe Jay has lost his memory. And then we go into Jay's POV and then the flashback of their interaction is different. Like
yes.
it's altered mm-hmm. based mm-hmm. on yes. Jay's perspective.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun.
Like they're unreliable narrators to a point.
Yeah, yeah. Both of them are. Yeah.
And they balance each other out in that way.
Yeah.
And they're just so funny. Like, and like Jay like is always so like, ugh, Matt, whatever. Like, what are you saying? But he always goes along like
yeah.
with everything Matt says.
Literally.
It's so funny. And oh, okay. I remembered one of my favorite bits in the movie is the wire cutters and him getting it through the security of the CN Tower. And they're like, what are these for? And he's like, oh, just to cut my pants. And he's like wearing the most ripped
mm-hmm. That is so funny.
In the world.
Okay, this could be totally wrong. This could be completely shot in the dark. But okay, so you know how some of it is real, like actually real people, and some of it is not?
Yeah.
It's scripted, it's a movie. So I feel like the CN Tower, this is in my heart. This is what I feel in my heart. I feel like the CN Tower thing, the guy who was first like, are you allowed to bring those? he's real. Mm. And then he calls the supervisor. Supervisor's in on it and knows about the wire cutters. And so that's why they obviously say yes. And they're like, no, that's a fine reason to have them to like cut your pants or whatever. And so then the guy just kind of like, oh, okay, I guess you could go through. So in my heart, that's what I believe.
That'd be cool.
That'd be funny. Yeah, I'd love to know like the level of involvement. Just, I don't think that we need to know as audience members, but you know, as filmmakers, film lovers, we want to know. I do know that they had the part where they were like running the wire around.
Yeah.
They did have like a wire, a rope or something attached to something. Like it wasn't the CN Tower. Mm-hmm. But so a lot of the people looking by being like, what are these guys doing? Like that was real, which I think is really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's sometimes where like people look at the camera and stuff, which I think is a fun detail to leave in.
Yeah.
I also loved like the way that all the footage they incorporated from the show like worked so perfectly. Like I guess they just had like so much B-roll and stuff.
Yeah, it was like seamless.
Yes, it was really, really it was really good.
When they interacted with their past selves from like over a decade ago, I was like, what the hell? How is this working?
Literally.
And like even it's like they didn't like it's like, oh, it would be impressive if they planned it. They didn't plan it to my knowledge, but it's so hard to still write around something like that and then like make footage work that like if you hadn't considered, like it's equally hard to either plan it all the way in advance, or I actually probably think it's harder to write around it, honestly.
Yeah.
It is harder to write around it because then you have to figure out a way to make it work footage wise.
Mm-hmm. They were probably just kind of like, what do we do in the past? Okay, well, maybe it'd be fun if we, like...
No, but then choosing the specific, like, clips, and then, like...
Yeah, especially they probably started with the clips.
Yeah.
And then wrote around that.
But that's what I'm saying. I still think that's really hard to
do. It is. I'm not disputing.
It's really, like... It's just really impressive to me. It's just really freaking impressive to me.
It definitely is.
It's just a really good movie.
It is really good. You guys actually see it.
You guys should see it. You should see it in theaters, because if you do see it in theaters, there's a joke directed towards you in the movie.
Yeah.
That you won't appreciate if you see it in the comfort of your own home.
There's a big bit about orbits in the film.
Oh, like the drink.
Yes, and I didn't know this until right now, but it's a Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a specifically Canadian beverage. I didn't know that.
I think everything in the film is specifically Canadian.
I just thought this was something that was like... you know, like popular for like a fad drink.
I thought that they made it up. I thought it was a fake drink, to be honest.
I think I'd like heard of this like before, like, and I was like, oh, it's like one of those like weird quirky drinks that like aren't around anymore. But I didn't know that it was a specifically Canadian thing. So that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
When I was thinking about, you know, Matt and Jay and thinking about loser comedy duos, another duo that came to mind was Troy and Ovid from Community.
Yeah.
Because they also get into hijinks and
they do
support each other no matter what.
Ovid's a filmmaker.
And they usually come up with plans and schemes.
That is
and
true.
Have an itemized list to go by it.
Yes. And sometimes it gets bigger than them, like the chicken fingers.
Yes, or the war. The
yes, the war.
The war. Mm-hmm. The war.
The war.
Or the air conditioning repair school.
I love the air conditioning repair school. That might be one of my favorite plots like of all time ever.
Genuinely in TV ever. And like it's John Goodman at the head of it. Margo's yet to get there in the show. I'm telling you,
it's not in season one?
Oh no, it's in season three.
It's mentioned in season one. Though.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Briefly.
Mm-hmm.
You'll love it, Margo.
Yes. I know I will. I'll love it. I'm getting there, guys. I'm getting there. I'm working my way through House of the Dragon with you right now, Morgan. That's consuming a lot
of
my time.
It's so good. It's so good.
But
we're on season one.
Yeah. Soon I'll be out of Game of Thrones to watch, and then I'll have to find something new, and that will be Community. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what other loser duo this movie actually also made me think of?
Who?
Mark and Jez from Peep Show.
Oh, Mark and Jez. I somehow think that Matt and Jay are more productive than Mark and Jez.
Yes.
Even though, like, Mark is making more money than both of them combined, probably, but...
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I think that they're way more productive because they at least try more things. Mark and Jez are usually failing at things.
Mark and Jez, they don't ever really make plans. They sometimes do. Sometimes they actually team up, but it kind of seems more like their own individual plans intersect.
Yeah, they don't get along as well as Matt and Jay do. They're
somehow get along better.
Yes. They might be more codependent.
They're more jealous of each other.
They're more codependent, I think. Mm-hmm. They have like a toxic...
They have a toxic relationship.
Doomed yaoi.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Matt and Jay, there's just something freaking awesome about them. I don't know. Did they remind you of anyone else? Morgan?
No, they were uniquely their own.
Yeah.
That's real.
I, again, in our friend group, it is a lot of the same comedy stuff over and over, which is, like, fine to rewatch videos all the time, but it was nice to have something new.
Yeah.
That we're all liking right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we digress.
Yeah, one of my favorite bits, bringing it back to that topic, mm-hmm. from the actual movie, that I keep quoting with like you, Dorsa, is the flashback that happens after.
Oh my, yes.
Matt and Jay, like, well, they after
Matt
they come
gets
back
to Jay's backstage pass after they've gone back to the future, yeah, and Jay is famous.
You see the one perspective where he's like, Jay, like, you need to remember me, like, whatever, come blah, on, blah, Jay, blah, come on. And he's like, nah, and he's like being kind of rude to Matt, but like he's not being mm-hmm. super rude.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it goes back to Jay's perspective and like there's the flashback back to when Matt was there, and he's like, he's gotten really fat.
Bro, it's like kind of buff. You look good, kind of buff, a little fat. Actually kills me. And like just Matt's face in slow-mo too is like so funny, because he already like holds his face so still, but then to see it in slow-mo, like he's so freaking funny.
He's so funny. I really think that part of Matt's humor and charm is genuinely, like, I've been talking to you guys about his hair, and I'm like it's so crazy, like his hair is so light. His hair is so light and his eyes are so dark, and that makes his expressions, and his face is so high contrast that like his expressions, like people with dark enough eyes, it really looks like there's nothing going on.
Yeah,
behind
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. And it really does.
That's something that it's I've like definitely been cursed with as well. Like in my life, like there are so many pictures of me
he's
where
like a wet dog.
Stop. But like I was literally saying to Dorsa, I was like, I who is this random
Sorry,
bald
Matt,
old
no,
man?
It's he's a singer, Matt Johnson, the singer. He's in the yeah.
I saw the yes. the. So you so did not I. like them.
They Sorry. It was a very long concert.
You prefer a different Matt Johnson, and that's all right.
I do.
Matt Johnson director is usually how he's distinguished online, because I've searched him up before, and it's like Matt, because he directed freaking Blackberry. But yeah, he does have an
Waterloo?
Awesome face.
Waterloo, where we are,
yeah,
freaking Jim. Jim Ball's silly, but
Lazaridis.
What was the
doesn't
was
matter.
First name?
Doesn't matter. He doesn't have a first name. Only known as Mr. Blackberry.
Mike.
Oh yeah, it is Mike. I knew that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was saying to Dorsa too that like that bit. I don't know. It's just it's so funny to me. Like I don't know. Maybe it's especially funny because I was kind of looking at Matt and I was like, I don't know if maybe it's also like my like. Perpetual like wet dog look, like, but like literally I was waiting outside class to like be polite and like because I didn't want to go to a meeting by myself and be the first one there for Morgan and another one of our friends, Parker, who's also been on the pod, and one of our other friends was like literally this was like a Nirvana the band the show the movie like flashback moment for me. Like he walked out and he was like, have you been standing there the whole time? Because I was
oh,
there when
yeah.
you guys came in,
I remember
and he
this.
Was standing there and he was like, have you been waiting outside the whole time like a dog? And I was like, no, I went and I did some things, but I came back. But kind of, yes, in a sense, mm-hmm. like it has been like I've been here this whole time.
Have
but
you been waiting here the whole time?
Like a dog. But that's, yeah, I don't know. Something about Matt Johnson I just feel like I relate to. I feel mm-hmm. like if I was a guy, I'd probably be built exactly like
you
him.
You love and saying that too, which I love that you find resonance in. So, because I always think about like, if I was a guy, what kind of guy would I be?
Because that's how I would be.
I don't see myself represented a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't see my male self represented a lot.
Yeah, I don't think me either. But is that why you hate that he's blonde or has lighter hair?
Maybe. Because maybe I'm like, you should be brunette.
Both
like
of
me.
You guys are like, he should have darker hair.
Yeah, I really wish he was a brunette.
I personally think
I personally think that the hair really works for him and really suits him.
It does. You know, it does work for him. It does suit him. This is just me projecting my my own ideals.
I just don't think it would be him if he had darker hair.
Yeah, that's fair. He has the same hair as, you know, in The Sims 3?
Yes.
The nightlife, like the emo bang kind of hair. Yeah. Like where it like curves around their head like a helmet.
Yep.
He's hair just like that. Male hair. It's all going to be female hair coming up.
Actually, so real.
This is
all CC.
This is always what happens when I look up. that's some just.
He also kind of looks like he has that one hair from The Sims 4, but base game that's long.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
looks kind of like sleepy.
Yeah, you can use it in the bedtime one.
He has the
hair of a Sim.
Yes.
Yes,
is my point.
They would be so good to make it The Sims.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I should make them in Tomodachi.
I want to make them in The Sims now.
Wait, because their traits would also be pretty easy to give them.
Yeah. What would their Sims traits be?
I feel like obviously.
Ooh, are we
Jay
going by
would
Sims
have,
4 traits?
Jay
are we
would
doing
have music.
Sims 4 or Sims 3?
4 because I don't know Sims 4. 3 like that.
That's real.
I haven't played The Sims 3 since I was a young child.
There's so many new traits in The Sims.
That's okay. We could go on.
Yeah, there's too much.
Well, I feel like Jay would have the music one.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Whatever that is. Music lover, I think
music
it is.
There's music lover and there's artistic. Right?
Music lover, I feel like he'd have. Yeah, because he plays the piano.
Muser.
No, that's a bonus trait.
That's for
if you choose.
To go down that
path. Oh my god! Sorry. Yeah, music lover. Sorry, I found out that they're here.
Yeah, music lover.
Yeah, I love giving my Sims that.
Music lover.
Chased by death.
What?
Chased by death.
Stop. That's Matt's trait. Chased by death.
Slob.
I was about to say that.
One of them needs to be a slob.
Yeah, one of them needs to be a slob.
Slob.
Ooh, one of them can be, what is it? Like idealist? There's one that's idealist.
Idealist, yeah.
I know my traits.
I think Matt would
be
an
Matt
idealist.
Matt, also loyal.
Loyal. Shady, no. I almost went to the toddler traits. I think both of them could get creative.
Matt is wiggly.
Wiggly? That's a toddler trait. Matt is wiggly.
I feel like he could also have outgoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's kind of boring, but like.
Yeah. No. 100p.
I just feel like he's always going up to people. And like, they're always like talking to people on the side of the road. Oh, you know who? You know? Hamza Martin, Slushy Noobs.
Yeah, that reminds you of Matt and Jay.
Just the fact that they interact with people on the side of the road.
And there's like one who's like very intense and like very fine with doing that. Yeah. And then the other one's more like
reserved. I think it helps. They're also both like Canadian duos.
Yeah.
And they're both in Toronto. And they're both like my sense of humor.
Ugh, I need to get back into playing The Sims, to be honest.
Same, but I've been holding off because I was like, if I do it, I'm not going to do my schoolwork.
Wiggly is an infant trait, not a toddler trait.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I thought it was.
Infant Matt Johnson is wiggly.
Toddler Matt Johnson is inquisitive and silly.
toddler Matt Johnson is charmer.
No, that's toddler Jay.
Toddler
Jay is clingy.
I think Toddler Jay would be clingy.
Clingy and fussy. We should start doing this with everyone. What Sims traits they would have.
That would be so funny.
We could do that as a little segment every once in a while. Practice makes perfect. Goofball.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them could have goofball.
But the thing about goofball, the goofball trait makes them like childish things more in The Sims.
Oh, yeah. They're like, they go haha poop.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, do they?
Yeah. No, that might be from the childish trait.
Maybe.
Because remember?
Because the goofball one, you're always playful all the time. And whenever they're playful all the time, I'm like, literally, enough. Enough with you.
Really?
Stop it.
I love playing with goofball.
If it's all the time.
I love it when it's all the time. But that's me in real life, too. My sim is always, especially the sim of myself, is always flirty and playful all the time. She doesn't really feel anything else.
That's actually awesome.
Because I make her life as easy as possible.
That's great. Sometimes my Sims are bored and I'm like, what's going on?
I just remembered when I was really stoned last night, I started, I got this request in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I was playing the room decorator thing.
Oh,
happy Island Paradise or whatever. And I got a request where it was like, I would love a home with a piano in it. And so I started making Matt and Jay's apartment with all that I could. But I got halfway through and I started to fall asleep. So I saved and I exited. But you can go back and edit it. So I started making their like little piano, like living room area.
That's kind of awesome. Yeah, there'd be so much clutter.
Yeah. That's what I like to do.
Bro, Dustin wanted to visit their house when we went to Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, oh, like their old apartment?
No, like the house.
The house.
The house.
Because okay. There's also their old apartment.
It's like, bro, what are you going to do? Knock on the door? Like, low-key, that's scary.
Yeah.
Because imagine if that was me and my house and someone just randomly knocked on the door. Stop. And like, I'm such a big fan. I would be like, okay, well, what's the game that they play? Bird's favorite game.
I'll be Superman. You be Batman.
Just headshot.
Bird's favorite game. And why would he think that that was a fake gun?
Why would he be quoting Matt to people that have no idea who he is?
Because he misses Bird's favorite.
That's so funny. And he only Matt calls him Bird, so they're probably like, "What is he talking about?" Ah, he just shot someone in the head.
I actually loved the scene where, like, also the scene like leading up to Bird's favorite game shooting him in the head,
oh,
where
he's trying to fit in.
That's yeah. One of my favorite types of comedy, because that, like, literally low-key I actually think it's because that was me for
many
years.
That's real. I was just about to say
like,
the same.
Hey, like trying to get into
I see you like this thing.
And then they all look at you and they're like, mm-hmm.
The thing is, he was like, "I'm bothering you guys," and none of them said, "No, you're not."
Exactly.
And they just went back to talking. And it's like, oh,
that's
okay,
what makes it so
right.
funny. I was actually dying of
yeah,
laughter.
So literally. I normally hate that in
yeah.
things because. It's too real.
But he deserved it in that moment
also. Wait.
Sorry.
I normally hate that in things because sometimes awkward humor, I just can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just really get secondhand embarrassment really badly. But like guys, it's a shock. I can watch. I think you should leave, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, in the film, I actually really enjoyed it. And I don't know why. Maybe they created a safe space for me where I didn't think that he would have repercussions from it. Which, if a character is doing something that I dislike, but there's no repercussions from it, like shooting someone in the head, I love it. I think it's so funny.
Because you know that they have a time travel machine.
Exactly.
You know?
Which is really funny, because when you're not watching comedy, Morgan, like, you love things that are, like, chain of events. Like, this event leads to this event leads to this event. Because that's, like, all
we
watch
together.
But when
it's comedy,
together.
You're like, no, I feel bad for them.
No, it's actually brutal. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, this is too real.
No, but, we were watching any other show, and you're like, both of us, especially with Game of Thrones, are like, no, they need to die now. No, they need to be.
Well, Game of Thrones brings
that
out in you. It brings that out in you. It's like, there's a little bit too much incest going on. Kill everybody.
Literally. Nuke.
Cut all this just move off.
For real. Literally.
Did you guys know that it took over 200 days to film?
No.
Did it take over 200 days to film the modern stuff? Or
I think so.
I
don't. Everything in the
No. Like
everything in the world.
Like including their old footage. I mean.
Whoa. I think it's only the modern.
Oh my gosh.
Modern
that kind of makes sense.
Our
though,
class just got canceled tomorrow morning.
My or class too?
No,
wait,
not your
wait,
class.
The one
I,
at 11:30. The one at 11:30.
Yes.
Okay, well, I still have class at 8:30 a.m. But that means I get to do work.
Yeah.
During class.
Lucky you.
I get to do schoolwork. Awesome.
What a reward.
What a reward. But
what a hotel.
Also, I forgot to talk to you guys about this because I was talking to one of our other friends about it. Do you guys know that what is like Jay's mansion is Drake's mansion?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah, I recognized it.
So funny. So
but, okay, that's probably why
funny.
It took like 200 days to film because they had to be like, yo,
yes.
Can we get the CN Tower for this one day? Yo, can we get Drake's
and
mansion?
And Queen Street too. Queen Street is such a and Budweiser.
True.
I just. Oh yeah, this has all the freaking locations here. Yeah, CN Tower, Budweiser, Drake's mansion, Queen Street, like.
I was dying of laughter during the Budweiser part, and that was because it was local.
Yeah.
That was specifically,
yes.
I was like, why the fuck is the
and
venue
they're
at?
They're changing Budweiser.
Yes.
I was thinking about that.
We were just renaming Budweiser.
Yeah. No. Maybe, I don't know, but they're making it not an outdoor venue anymore.
What the hell? What's
going to
be the
like
lawn?
Inside, I guess. And I'm like, the whole point is that
inside.
It's like by the water,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it's like.
Nice.
Yeah.
And there's a little plaza you can walk around in with all the food and
ridiculous.
Stuff.
Is
but,
ridiculous.
But sorry, you were saying about you're dying when they're at Budweiser.
I was just dying because it was Budweiser.
No,
Budweiser.
And I, literally. I'm like, wait, I just saw Arctic Monkeys there.
Yeah. I was
we just saw the Who
there last year.
Who.
Oh, mine was a couple years ago.
Yeah. But
Rip.
They.
Sorry.
But Margo, I think you'll like this. Jay is afraid of heights. So he, really? He that was real? Did not have a fun time being at can the top
I,
of the tower.
Can I say something crazy?
What?
I actually suspected that he really was afraid of heights just based on his reaction, like when he was stepping out, because that's exactly how he's like, he looks yeah. so
Matt
visibly nervous, and that's actually genuinely so real.
Yeah, that is. I wouldn't want to do the skywalk.
I could not do it.
Oh, I couldn't. I couldn't go. I just touched my toe to the freaking glass. I couldn't.
I there jumped little, up and down on the glass floor. I was
nah,
fine.
Nah, there was little nah, kids nah. jumping up and down. Because like I was like, I think maybe like, I want to say 11 or something, like 10 or 11 when I went. And I remember thinking, I was like, no, but I'm going to be the one that my ass would step on there and I'd fall down and die. I'm like, I just know it. I just know I have, I don't know why I thought I had really bad luck or something. I was like, I just know that. I think it was probably just like early signs of anxiety. But I was like, I will be the one to fall through.
Yeah, that's fair.
I genuinely thought the same thing. But the thing is, I was with my best friend was visiting from New York. So this was like a touristy thing we were doing. And I remember thinking, well, of course, when I walk on it, it is going to collapse. But the thing is, I was like, I remember I made a huge show of it, like as a right. joke. But I was like, imagine if it collapsed. Imagine how funny that would be. Like, that would be horrifying. Like, that would be awful. Like it'd be awful. Like, I'd plummet to my death. Like, everyone would be without me for the rest of my life. I'm 11 years old. No actually, more Margo, but I was that would be hilarious that. Where it's like, yeah. it's not going to crack.
I'd be
it's
like,
not gonna fall.
I was like, oh my God, my mom would be so sad if like, no. And I went with, I had like, I think family, I don't remember exactly who I went with, but I had family visiting from Iran, but like no one anywhere close to my age. Like I was a kid, everyone else was adults. And they're all like, go look, the little kids are going. And I was like, I can't go. And they're all like, it's like, man, I'm getting freaking bullied by all these adults to go. And be like, yo, the freaking little kids are going to go in the glass. I was like, I can't do it. But I remember being like, I was like, no, that would be too, I was like, that can't happen. Like, I remember like, I think I sat on the ground, like where it like wasn't the glass. And I was like right by the glass. And I like looked over it because I didn't want to stand on top of it. And then because I was like, if the glass all of a sudden collapses, I'm safe. I'm sitting. I'm not going to get toppled over. Like, I had a method to it.
No, that's fair.
I had a method to it.
That's so fair.
Heights are not my favorite thing in the world, either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll go on a roller coaster. But I'll go on a roller coaster.
I love a roller coaster, but that's because I know that I'm safe.
Yeah, Canada's Wonderland specifically, too, is like.
Well, I wouldn't go on a roller coaster if it wasn't Canadian, to be honest.
That's real.
Because I know all of the stuff, all the hoops that they have to jump through.
I was, like, really obsessed with park safety. Because yeah. I was so afraid of heights for a while, but I because of that I kept watching top 10 most deadly horrific roller coaster incidents where people
Watch
died.
Mojo.
I loved watching those, and that did not help me with my fear of heights.
No,
actually same. It's like most insane. It's always like roller coasters that got banned because they were too dangerous.
Yes, I've seen those.
This little
girl
was too light and she flew out, and all her bones were crushed on impact.
She got scalped, which is a real one.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's why I won't go on a drop tower. That's my one thing is I won't go on a drop tower.
I just don't like the drop towers.
I actually don't mind the.
It doesn't make me feel good because it's literally all of your organs like going up and down. Like it makes me like I can't imagine.
Okay, so actually I couldn't do that.
Change of topic. Mm-hmm. just because
heights, we were on heights.
No, just, mm-hmm. That's just a lot. No, I just wanted to talk about something else. Sorry
go
guys
ahead. Go ahead.
So I'm thinking that maybe the part of the reason why we like this movie so much is because we're like, yo, I know that thing. So then I'm thinking, is that this is how people like view films, where it's filmed like New York, for example, where
right.
every movie is ever is filmed there. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's how they feel?
I putting on my New York expert hat here. sometimes that's how I feel. Like when it's in like, but like I was very like, honestly, I wasn't living in the city. So mm-hmm. like all the like touristy places that everybody goes to, I'm like, oh, I've been there a couple times. Like I'm like, oh, Bryant Park. Oh, it's nice. Right. Like, oh. Mm-hmm. When it's New York at Christmas specifically, I feel very nostalgic. But I don't know. I feel like, especially with like people in New York, because I feel like that's the place. In a lot of things.
Big Apple.
That's why, like, a lot of people there have, like, such a blasé. Like, they're very, very, they're like, I love New York. I love New York. Like, they're so patriotic about it. But they're also, like, so, like, they're not like, well, I'm a New Yorker, so I do. Because, like, you know when you see, like, posts on social media, it's like, I'm going to make up a name for a place. It's like, I'm from Bricksvale, Ohio. And this is what we do.
Place.
It's like, patriot. Hail to Bricksvale. Like, you know, it's like, You're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What was that one? It's like, I'm from Cuddlesburg. Oh, yeah, yeah. She's like, you don't know. I'm from West Wigglesburg.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, that kind of post, like, that actually grates on my fucking nerves sometimes. But
it's like,
bro,
everyone's from a place.
Yeah, everyone's from a place. Low-key, everyone's feel pride from about a place.
That's actually true. Yeah, I just think it's nice because, like, normally Toronto is disguised as, for example, New York. Or it's disguised as any other big city ever. And so it's actually nice seeing it as Toronto.
As Toronto. Yeah. You know what? You make a great point, because when you said that, I immediately was like, I'm very quick to be like, that's not New York, that's Toronto.
Yeah, same.
In things.
Or, like, now that we've lived in Vancouver, it's like, oh, I recognize that. Or it's like, that's SFU or something. Yeah.
Watching X-Files and seeing the SkyTrain in the back, it's like,
and that one statue right out front of Waterfront Station.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And also, like, the church downtown. I mean, all of us. Just everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I think that we really should. I mean, I love co-productions. I'll always be a fan of co-productions with different countries. I think it's important for people and creatives from all over the world to collaborate with each other. But I do think that, you know, I believe in the Canadian film industry.
I know what I mean?
Like, I think that people should, you know... Guys, if you're Canadian, you're a filmmaker, you know people, make stuff here. Make stuff about Canada, because, like, we should be more involved in our local communities. Make something about your hometown. I know we just diss people for being like, I'm from West Wigglesburg. But truly, truly, like, it's like, you live in the country that you live in. You should know its history. You should know everything. Yeah. You should have stories being integrated here, because, like, we shouldn't be so Americanized, I think, as Canadians. And yeah, with that, I will agree. Also say that we should be... You know, just, I don't know. Like, I just think maybe we should be Canadian pride. I don't know. I guess, like, Canadian pride. But with that, we should also be making sure Indigenous people have their voice heard as well.
Well, that's Canadian pride.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're the OG Canadians.
They're the OG Canadians. Yeah. And I think I've seen, like, some, like, networks, like, TV networks, like, you know, have more shows about Indigenous people with Indigenous creative people, like, creatives involved.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great step. But I think that also as young people, we need to care about it more and advocate for things being Canadian more, because I think that a lot of young Canadians, in my experience, have a very, again, like, blasé attitude about being Canadian. They're like, yeah, whatever. They're like, I'm from Toronto. They're like, I'm Toronto. But it's like, yo, low-key, you live in a country.
And also, you live in a very safe country.
Yes. Yeah. And you live in a country where you can advocate for whatever you want, and you have that protected by law that you can peacefully protest, that you can talk about whatever you want, and you shouldn't take it for granted. So whatever speaks to you, you talking about that, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but that is Canadian, that you are able to do that.
Exactly. Or, like, some people that I know want to be elsewhere, and they're frustrated that they're stuck in Canada. Bro, you're frustrated you're stuck in Canada? This is, like, are you kidding?
Nice place,
this is quite a nice place.
Like, that's why so many people, like, immigrate here. Like, I mean, I freaking immigrated here when I was a freaking baby. Like, my family immigrated here. Like, you shouldn't take for granted the place that you live in. Don't think, like, I think we associate ourselves too closely with the United States of America, which... We got our own stuff, and we should stand strong in that, because America already is a global power, and let's, you know, not give it more power. Yep. How about that?
Yeah.
Yep. And we have things that most countries don't have, like legalized weed.
Yeah. And that's why everyone's chilled out all the time.
Literally. But,
I mean, I think everyone should be involved in their own country, in their own local community.
Yeah, for sure.
Never lose sight of that, you know?
I just said I hated local pride. Guys, I'll take it back. You guys have actually touched my heart and changed my mind. just because when I say...
That doesn't mean you're better than anyone. It doesn't mean because we're Canadian, we're better than anyone else. That's not the... it's not supremacy.
To me, it means that we're better than Americans.
Oh, for sure.
To me, in my heart.
I won't object to that.
But not the individual American, just the idea of America, and just everything that's going on in the world.
But so I don't disagree with what you were saying earlier, though, about just because you're from Wigglesburg doesn't mean you get to spit in someone's face. Like,
yeah, I just think it's absurd when people talk about places like everyone should know them. That's my main gripe.
Like Bruce Campbell in Michigan. No.
But then, at the same time, since everyone only knows Toronto, everyone pretends they're from Toronto. That's the thing.
You're not from Toronto. Yeah. You are not from Toronto.
You are from Etobicoke.
But you hate the opposite of that. You would hate if someone was like, no, I'm from Etobicoke.
True. I hate everything.
And that's okay, but
try guys, to find something Margot likes. Challenge every episode.
Explore these feelings that you have about where you live and where you're situated. If you're unhappy with where you live, think of why that is. Is it about local legislation? Is it about the economy?
Is it about the people you surround yourself
with? Is it about the people you surround yourself? Just question, guys. Make sure you question yourself. Don't go into any freaking little, like, you know, crises or some sort of existential, like, and loop. But
you know what? Sometimes you hate the place you live if you're like me and you're from Aurora, Ontario. You hate the fact that there's no public transit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you hate the place that you live and then you move across the country and then you realize the place you live is great.
Not so bad. Yeah.
And then you come back and you're like, wow, I see the beauty in everything. Because sometimes you don't know a good thing until it's gone.
Yeah. True. True.
Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. But on that note, guys, go see Nirvana please. The Band, the show.
Yes, please
the
movie, go see it.
I think you'll still be able to catch it by the time this episode is out.
Please.
If it comes on some sort of streaming thing. Guys, support Canadian things, support Telephone.
I'm sure it'll come on. Okay, this is me hypothesizing. I feel like it'll come on Crave.
Yeah.
Because that's Canadian.
Because that's Canadian.
And Crave is.
And I have Crave.
Doing everything. Crave is looking the goat recently.
Guys,
it's got everything on it.
Buy locally, get involved in your local community, and go see Nirvana the Band, the show, the movie.
And hug your best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hug your best friend.
That's my best friend.
That's my best friend.
And with that, okay.
Bye.